Talking movies. Everybody knows that. Whether it's with Brett Hoffman on Fridays or the Movie Mom, Nell Minow at MovieMom.com. And Nell, thanks for joining us here. I do appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, and we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the hits and misses of the summer and what's coming in the fall, because it's a very exciting fall with a lot of sequels, lot of sequels coming. And one I particularly want to talk about, because I've already seen it, is the sequel to Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah, Spinal Tap 2. I think
this
time it goes to...
The end continues. Spinal Tap 2... And the 2 is in the shape of Stonehenge.
Yeah. Do they go to 12 on the amplifiers in this one? They go one step higher than 11?
I'm sure they were going to go to 12, but they did something else instead. He's got one of those boards where he puts his foot down to make different sounds, and the sounds that he's picked are very funny.
You know, Greg Marcus, who used to own this radio station, by the way, he went out to Hollywood and he filmed a promo with all the stars from Spinal Tap and also with Rob Reiner. And it's hilarious. It was all ad-libbed and it's hilarious. Those guys really know how to handle it.
They are incredible. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be interviewing them tomorrow, and they told me that the actors are going to be appearing as their characters in the interview.
Yeah, that's what they did here. They were dressed as their characters, and they appeared on there. Harry Shearer
They love playing those characters, Harry Shearer, right? And it looks wonderful.
Oh, give us some of the hits from this past summer.
Well, there weren't a lot of huge hits. I mean, we had ones that we expected to be gigantic, Mission Impossible and Superman and Fantastic Four, and they did okay, but not fabulous. I tell you, the biggest hit of the summer was not in theaters. It was on Netflix, and it was K-pop Demon Hunters. And like everybody else that was over the age of, 10, I went into it with a little bit of reluctance, thinking, why would I like that? And I fell in love with it. I've seen it 3 times. It's got incredible songs. I'm telling you right now, at least 1, maybe 2 of the songs will be nominated for Oscars. And if you just want to have a lot of fun, go on YouTube and watch some of the reaction videos. My favorite are the reaction videos of vocal coaches who are just stunned as we see them listening to the music for the first time, and they're amazed by the vocal pyrotechnics of the singers in that movie. And then also there are a lot of ones of kids. So I think the biggest song for children since Let It Go from Frozen, or We Don't Talk About Bruno, is probably Golden from K-pop Demon Hunter. So that was really the surprise hit of the summer.
Now, they did move it into theaters for 2 days. We played it out here.
Yes, for a sing-along.
Yeah, and sing-along 2 days, and it was the number one film of the week for just 2 days.
I know. And they're already talking about sequels, of course, and even a live-action version.
Man. All right.
I don't know how they're going to do that, but okay.
K-pop.
A lot of CGI.
K-pop. What was the whole name of it? K-pop?
Demon Hunters.
Demon Hunters. All right.
Yeah.
All right. What did you see that was like for the rest of us humans? Above the age of 10.
I do like superhero movies, and so I did like the new Superman. I'm going to tell you my favorite piece of trivia about the guy who plays the new Superman. His grandfather invented the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Oh, okay.
And he said growing up with that, it really gave him a perspective on life, on making choices and thinking through consequences, and I enjoyed that. And so I thought that was great. It's not a coincidence, it seems to me. I feel like Hollywood has to relearn this lesson every year, but the 2 biggest box office hits of the year so far have both been movies for kids. Minecraft, which was just okay, but all right, and the live-action Lilo and Stitch. Now, a big surprise not hit this year was from Pixar, because I always expect the best of the best of the best from them. And I liked Elio very, very much, but it took audiences a long time to get used to it. I think it'll do very well on streaming, but it was not a hit in theaters.
So we go to see a movie, and I forget what film it was. My wife and I coming out of the theater, we see these kids getting out of a car dressed in these costumes. I can't even describe what they were. And I said... are you going to see Minecraft? He goes, yeah, of course. And they were dressed in these, I don't know how he sat in the seat. He was like in a box or something.
Right, because it's very square, right.
Yeah. And I don't know how he even sat down. But anyway, I mean, the theaters, I saw them all online with these crazy costumes. So I'm not a Minecraft person, but I guess it was a big hit, number one.
It was a huge hit, and I thought it was very enjoyable. I'm not a Minecraft person either, and I don't think you need to be one to enjoy it. Jason Momoa and Jack Black were very funny in it. And what I thought was interesting is they called it a Minecraft movie rather than the Minecraft movie, because the whole idea about Minecraft is you could create your own game. You want to have just fun, cute adventures, that's fine. You want to have some scary adventures, that's fine. You pick what kind of a game you want to have, and that's the movie is very true to that idea. Now, I did not, speaking of Jack Black, I did not think it was as good as the two Jumanji films, but I thought it was nice. And the same with Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch is one of my least favorite Disney films, and I say that as somebody who loves every Disney film, so I liked it very much, but I just couldn't imagine that it would be that good as a live action, but you know what? It was very nice. It's less surprising to me that that did so well than it is that some of the other ones did so badly.
You know, I can't wait till the fall movies. I just want to go to the movies. I don't want to see any superhero movies. I don't want to see any video game movies. I don't want to see K-pop movies. I just want to see good dramas with a good plot and good acting. That's all I want to see. Am I asking too much?
No, that's fine. You know, I mean, a lot of the sequels and remakes and remixes and all that did not do all that well this summer. So maybe that's a lesson. Jurassic World. But, you know, I think one of the reasons that these movies don't do so well is the time period between the theatrical release and the streaming has shrunk down to a nanosecond. I mean, Jurassic World, I think, was in streaming maybe less than a month after it was in theaters. So I think everybody says, I got three kids, I got to pay for parking, I got to buy popcorn. I think I'll just wait and see it at home.
You know, Ed, interestingly enough, not this weekend, but the weekend before, the number two movie was Jaws, the original Jaws. Number two.
50 years later. And by the way, if you have not watched on streaming the documentary about the making of Jaws with 20-something Steven Spielberg, you have to watch it. It is such a delightful, entertaining documentary about making this movie that really changed Hollywood forever, because it made more money than any other movie. And, you know, that wasn't Gone with the Wind or something. And it came out of nowhere. And it sort of invented the idea of the summer blockbuster and the expectations about what a movie could make.
Now,
and how long it would be in theaters.
I have two.
And whether anybody would ever go back to the beach.
I have two movie props in my house. They're very tiny movie props. My son got me. One is a little white piece of cloth with a red dot on it. And he got it from Universal, wherever he got it from. And it's a drop of the fake blood that was used in the third take of when Quint was eaten by the shark.
And oh, my gosh.
And it says, used in the third take, the one that was on the screen, and they put a little dot of the blood from the ground, and they put it on. That it's not Dorothy and the Ruby Slippers, but it's the best I've got.
That is quite a gift to have. That is amazing.
And then I have part of the background in the first Willy Wonka film, the waving grass or whatever. I got one of the grass things too.
Wow, that's really fun. My daughter, you know, we've talked about this before. My daughter's a costume designer working in Hollywood, and she just finished last Friday work on a film that has a lot of murders in it. And so as a costume person, she had to have multiple copies of everything because of the fake blood, and she was responsible for smearing the fake blood in a realistic way. So you never know what you're going to get up to in that job.
Do you try to get inside information from her?
Yes.
Does she give it to you?
So, sometimes. I mean, obviously, she has to sign a lot of NDAs, and they're very, very strict about it. The strictest she was ever on any project that she worked on was on Mad Men, where a guy got fired because they were filming a scene at the airport, and he just took a picture of the airport and put it on Instagram. He didn't say, "I'm here filming Mad Men" or anything like that, and they're very strict about NDAs, but she does tell me some very funny background stories about the actors because she literally sees them in their underwear.
Well, Look at you. You got an inside pipeline to Hollywood. Okay, what are any other hit movies you want to talk about before we get to the misses?
Let's see. No, there really were not any gigantic hits this summer. All the things that were expected to be huge were not really huge. I think K-pop Demon Hunters is the one that is the most interesting to me.
Yeah. What's number one for the summer? Do you know box office wise?
I think it was Lilo and Stitch.
Oh yeah, it was. You're right. You're right, because I did read it. You're right, it was. Okay, so let's talk about some of the movies that missed. And then, first of all, before we talk about the misses, I saw a good movie. You thought it was just okay. It was Americana, which I thought was just like a Coen Brothers movie without the Coen Brothers. I thought it was.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. The Coen Brothers have split up and have not been as successful apart. One of them now makes extremely R-rated movies about gay women and in partnership with his wife. And the other one made, I thought, an excellent version of Macbeth with his wife, Frances McDormand. But nobody seems to love them as much as they love the Coen Brothers movie. So tell me why you liked Americana. I thought it was just okay. I thought Sydney Sweeney was great.
Yeah, I didn't know that was her. I'm reading all the gossip about her and her jeans commercials, and she's the paparazzi girl and all.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was her. She's a good actress.
You know what? She was in, I'm not recommending this movie to you at all, but she was in another movie this summer, and she's got another one coming out this fall, so she's very, very busy. But she was in a movie where I didn't recognize her at first, called Eden, directed by Ron Howard, and it's based on a wild, true story of some people who decided that they were going to try to create a perfect community, a utopian community, on a remote island, and it did not work out well. Human beings are very fallible, and she is the best thing in the movie. She, among other things in the movie, has to have a baby all by herself in the middle of the forest with no one around her, and that's quite a scene. But I didn't recognize her because she's very glammed down. She looks kind of plain, and I thought she was excellent in that.
Was this a theatrical film Ron Howard made?
Yeah, with Jude Law, yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yep. Well, it did not do well.
How does a Ron Howard film not make it into theaters?
You know what did do well this summer was the Naked Gun movie, which I did think was very funny.
I can't get into those.
Okay.
That's just something about it. Yeah,
it's extremely silly, and I think it's very nice that Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, who are co-stars in the movie, seem to be a couple in real life now, too.
Yeah, I heard that was a fake. We have to ask your daughter. She's got the pipeline.
Yeah, she'll have the inside scoop.
Okay, so here's what I like about Americana. I like movies where you see separate stories and they all come together.
Yeah.
And you can't picture how they could possibly come together, but they do. And that's without giving anything away, they do come together in this film. And I just was like, wow. I love the ending. I loved everything about it. And because I had seen a good movie this summer. Now, my other miss, I told you before we went on the air, I was waiting for. Now, last year, they had a movie, Godzilla Minus One, which was a good movie.
That was an excellent movie.
Even won an Academy Award, you know.
Yeah, right. And it was made on a very, very low budget. It didn't have, you know, millions of dollars worth of CGI.
But Godzilla was on screen a lot. That's what you need. You need to see the monster. So Shin Godzilla came out, and I was waiting for this movie because I heard about it, and it was actually shot in 2019 and came out in Japan in 2019, and they 4K'd the movie up. They made it a whole good-looking movie, and they released it. And I'm going to I dragged my wife. She said, I'll be sleeping through it, but I'll go with you. And I said, okay. And a few times I heard snoring, but then, you know, I give her a little knock, and the snoring stopped. It was so bad. I said, I can't, it's got to get better. And it 2 hours and Godzilla was on screen for about 12 minutes. I mean, it was all talk, 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 talk. And for some inexplicable reason, they go to English two or three times in the movie. And the rest is all Japanese, you know, with the subtitles.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was all talk. And you have a monster movie with no monster in it for 12 minutes. It doesn't make sense. Anyway. So I was disappointed.
In Jaws, that's a perfect example of a monster movie where the monster very seldom appears, but they made that into an advantage in that movie.
Yes, but when he does appear...
What you're saying is that in this movie, the monster hardly appears because they couldn't afford it.
Well, and also, they freeze Godzilla. So all you see is a static Godzilla in the distance because they froze him. So when he's on screen, he doesn't move. At least in Jaws, the thing is moving.
Again, a cost-saving device, I'm sure.
Man, what a big... So that was my big loser of the summer. Okay, any other losers?
All right, well, I want to mention one that I don't know if you're going to like it or not, but I liked it very much, and it's based on a Stephen King story, and I thought it deserved more attention, and that is The Life of Chuck with Tom Hiddleston. And if I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to give you a spoiler, because it's not like a huge spoiler, but it's a bit of a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, spoiler alert, everybody. So cover your ears if you don't want to hear it. So Life of Chuck has three chapters, and it's a little spooky because it's Stephen King. But I'm going to tell you what I think is happening. In the first chapter, it seems like the world is coming to an end, and people are trying to figure out how they want to spend their last moments. And then we discover the Chuck himself, and we see his childhood. We go back in time and see his childhood, and then we see one day in his adult life. And here's what I think is happening. I think when they call it The Life of Chuck, I think the movie is really about Chuck himself dying. He's not well, and he's got brain cancer. And I think when they say the world is dying, I think what Stephen King is saying is that each of us is a world of memories, a world of relationships. And when we die, those things are gone. And what do we leave behind? And I found it very moving. There's one scene there where Tom Hiddleston, who's a businessman, he wanted to be a dancer, but his grandfather, played by Mark Hamill, from Luke Skywalker, tells him that, you know, you can't make money that way. You're going to have a real job. And so he gets a real job as an accountant. And then he has an opportunity to do one beautiful dance. And that scene is so touching. It's so lovely. So I think people should take a look out for that one. I found it a very spiritually moving movie. And then another one that I wanted to talk about from this summer, because I was very disappointed by it, is Materialist. And I think one of the reasons I was disappointed is that with Dakota Johnson and Chris Pine and the summer's busiest working guy, Pedro Pascal, who's in three big movies this summer, it's about a matchmaker, a professional matchmaker in New York, and who has to decide between a rich man and a poor man. I think you know where it's going to go. But I think they tried to market it as a romantic comedy, which it definitely is not. And so I would not... I would not recommend it, even if your expectations are different going in. And then I did like F1 a lot, the Formula One movie with Brad Pitt. I thought that was terrific. So that's one I would recommend you take a look at if you haven't been to see it yet.
Do you remember the movie that Mark Hamill made right after Star Wars?
Which one was that?
Okay. He was promoting this movie. It was called Corvette Summer.
Right.
And he said, this is the only movie that I could have made to follow Star Wars.
Right, because it was the opposite in every way. It was a little low-budget, sort of goofy movie.
And you see, they run it occasionally on Turner Classic Movies, you see it. And it's a goofy movie, but it's not Star Wars.
Well, that's right. But I think he's actually had a very, very interesting career. I think... maybe people don't know this, but in the animated TV series of Batman, he plays the Joker, and he is the best Joker since Jack Nicholson.
Good for him. The other movie I saw this summer was actually, they put it out in theaters, The Chosen, but they show it in chapters, and we go to see The Chosen, and they're in season whatever. It's like watching a TV show, but it's in theaters instead, and it's very well done, and talk about a budget. It looks like biblical times in the Middle East, but it's actually shot just outside Austin, Texas. I mean, it looks like the Bible out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very, very popular series.
And it's all done through fundraising. crowdsourcing, whatever they call that, fundraising. And that's how they're making the movies for The Chosen. And it's pretty successful. Yeah. Summer is in the rearview mirror now when it comes to movies. We're looking out the front window now to the fall season. Nell Minow, the Movie Mom, is here from MovieMom.com, MovieMom.com. And we're going to talk about the fall movies. We've never seen any of these movies. You may have seen some of them, but most of us mortals have never seen some of these movies before. We're looking forward to them. And I have your list on the phone, on my phone here. It's the, this is the, I guess the order of it. But before we get to the order, I got to tell you, the one I'm looking forward to is Wicked. I just, I saw the stage musical in Chicago and I fell in love with it. The first one last year was perfect. I'm looking forward to this one too.
Me too. I thought it was fantastic, and I'm very, very excited about that. We've got a lot of very big movies opening up, a lot of sequels and remakes, a lot of sequels. So when you say you haven't seen them yet, believe me, in a way you have. So we start off big this week with a sequel, with two sequels this week. We got Downton Abbey, the grand finale. They say this is really the last one. Elizabeth McGovern, who plays the Countess of it's her husband who directs it. And I think that behind the scenes and on the screen, it's going to have a very complete ending feeling. So all of the loose ends will be tied up. Everybody's going to live happily ever after. And we don't have to worry about the Crowleys going into the World War II era, which I think would be too jarring.
Yeah, when it was on PBS, the series before they made movies about it, I used to pop in and out of the room when my wife was watching, and I went to one of her Downton Abbey movies. It didn't do anything for me. I was too busy wasting my time with Shin Godzilla.
The other sequel opening up this week is one I know you're excited about because it is a sequel to, in my opinion, one of the top five funniest movies of all time. It is Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues.
You know, I could mention so many great lines from the original one when they're in the hotel room listening to the radio. And I forget the character's name, but the guy on the radio says, "I wonder where he is now."
Yeah, that's right.
And he says, "Hey, they're talking a little bit about your past. Why don't you come in?"
And they are so much fun. I'm going to be interviewing the cast tomorrow night, and I've been told they're going to be appearing as their characters. So I'll be interviewing Nigel Tufnell and Derek Smalls and all of that, and I'm very much looking forward to it. This is one I have seen, Spinal Tap 2, and it's tremendous fun, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say there are a lot of wonderful cameos in it, including my favorite all-time musician, Paul McCartney, who I will say the look on his face as he's listening to them play is worth the price of admission. It is so funny. And you remember that scene in Amadeus when Salieri makes his little tune to welcome Mozart, and then Mozart sits down and like brings it up to 11 and just ramps it up. There's a scene like that here too, where Paul McCartney says, "Well, you know, that's a very nice little tune, but maybe we could do this with it." And they go, "No, that's all right."
I can't wait to see that, because every time the other one is on, I saw the first one in the movies, but TCM runs it occasionally, and I never miss it. This is Spinal Tap 2. And it's got, what's it called?
The End Continues.
The End Continues.
And the number 2 in the title is Stonehenge. So Stonehenge does make a reappearance in this one. They do get a new drummer. And you get, of course, some of the great faces from the original film show up as well. So, I think everybody's going to enjoy Spinal Tap 2.
We got a Robert De Niro film coming out next week, too.
Yeah, we do. It is called Tin Soldier, and I've heard almost nothing about it. But it's got two Oscar winners, Robert De Niro and Jamie Foxx, play a cult leader and the former soldier who challenges him. And I will just say it looks pretty good. Those are two pretty good guys.
Yeah, De Niro makes a ton of movies.
He does. Yeah. And he likes doing comedies, but some of the ones he picks are just awful.
But you put him as a gangster in a movie, and nobody does it better than De Niro.
That's right, and he can do Analyze This. You know, he is just perfect. Talk about lines that you like to quote. I love it when Billy Crystal says, "You don't hear no very much, do you?"
Yeah, I know.
And he says, "Yeah, no, no." Oh, don't shoot me.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah. He was also good in the Fockers movies, too. Meet the Parents.
Yes, and they're making another one.
Yeah.
I think they should have quit after the first one. But yeah.
Now, coming up on the 19th, A Big Beautiful Journey.
Now, this is the kind of movie that is totally my jam. I love movies like this. This is from a mysterious director who doesn't do interviews named Kanganda, just a single name, and that's not the person, male or female, we don't know, a real name. If you want to see just a little movie of two people walking around Columbus, Indiana, not Ohio, Columbus, Indiana, which is famous for its architecture, and talking about the architecture, that's the first film, which is called Columbus, and I absolutely loved it. After Yang, another film from this person, which I thought was great. This one, The Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, is about a couple, if you watch the trailer, it's about a couple who go on a strange trip together where they don't know each other, they're strangers, but as they go together, they enter the past of each of them, and they sort of confront some of the things from their past through mysterious doors. And that's the kind of movie I love. I love movies that are kind of metaphorical and spiritual, like the one I just mentioned, The Life of Chuck. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one very much. I really, really like that Kogananda director, and Margot Robbie and Chris Farrell. Can't beat them. So looking forward to that.
If you love horror films, I love Jordan Peele's movies. I mean,
yes.
Get Out could be one of my favorites. We've seen, even though I know the ending, my wife and I am not exaggerating, have seen it 6 or 7 times already.
Wow.
It's just
it
so good.
Brilliant film. It is a brilliant, brilliant film. And I'm a huge fan of his. Now, this one he produced, he didn't direct, but it seems very much in his wheelhouse. It's called Him, and it's about a promising high school athlete who gets his wish comes true. He gets to go to a special sports camp led by one of his heroes, and things don't go well. So we will see what happens there. If you watch the trailer, you can see it's very scary.
Does anything ever go well in a Jordan Peele movie? I don't think so.
No, except the Keanu, which I thought was very funny, which he made with Keegan-Michael Key. I hope he goes back to comedy at some point, but he doesn't seem to have any inclination to do that.
Okay, coming up on September 19th, also London Calling.
Now, I've been a huge fan forever of Josh Duhamel, and he is just great in this movie. The movie's just okay, but he is great as a hitman. Now, tell me if this sounds at all familiar to you. There are some men in this world that don't like to go to the doctor. In fact, the New York Times had a huge article about that over the weekend. And he's a hitman, and what do you need when you're a hitman? You need really good eyesight. And he just doesn't want to go and get glasses. So things don't go well. He kills the wrong person by accident.
Oh, boy.
And has to get out of town. And he's in London. He goes to Los Angeles, and there his new boss says, you have to train my son, who's a LARPer. He likes to play video games and live-action role-play games. And you have to train him to be a hitman, too. So it's about what happened. So it's a kind of an uneven blend of comedy and action. I thought the action was very well staged. But the reason to see it, if you want to go, is to see Josh Duhamel, who just hits it every moment in the movie.
Pronounce his name again for me.
Duhamel.
Duhamel.
Duhamel, yeah.
I just kind of, run over it real quick so now we can understand what I'm saying. That's what announcers do. When we can't announce something, we blur it out. We are talking to the movie mom, Nell Minow from MovieMom.com. And all the movies you're talking about, if you go to MovieMom.com, you can see the entire list with trailers. You actually put the trailers on there. So if somebody wants to say, well, I don't know, let me see what it's like. And trailers are so different than they used to be. And I hate to sound like...
They give you more information, I think, than they should.
But it's also very quick, and they have the sound effect, boom, 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 going through the whole thing. It annoys me.
But I'll tell you the thing that annoys me about trailers is the number one thing that people who do trailers seem to do these days is they take some pop song and they slow it down. And
yeah.
That's supposed to make it very dramatic, and it just makes me crazy. It has nothing to do with the movie.
Well, here's the movie my wife and I are looking forward to. We saw the trailer for it, and it looked good. Eleanor the Great, and it's coming out September 26th.
I'm very excited about that. You know, that's the first film directed by Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it stars the amazing June Squibb, who is living her best life in her 90s. If you haven't seen her movie Thelma, please see it. You will adore it. And Eleanor the Great looks wonderful. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it's about senior citizens. I mean, it's not, you know, this is not K-pop. Yeah. This is not K-pop.
This is not Sydney Sweeney. No, Eleanor the Great. She is a woman who, in her 90s, leaves her home of many years and moves to New York and kind of creates a new life for herself. And it looks great.
Yes. One battle after another. I've been seeing all the previews with Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm still not sure what this movie's about after seeing the preview about 3 or 4 times, but let's talk about it.
Right. Well, Paul Thomas Anderson does not like anybody to know what his movies are about until you're actually sitting in the theater watching them. So he's not going to give you much advance warning, but he does attract the very, very top when it comes to actors. So it's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, so 2 Oscar winners right there. Benicio del Toro, a 3rd Oscar winner. Regina Hall. Tiana Taylor, who's an upcoming actress. And Alana Haim from the pop group Haim. She and her 2 sisters have a very successful pop group. And I love this. A young actress with a wonderful name of Chase Infinity.
Hmm. Yeah, I like the name, but yeah. I can't picture my mom naming me a name like that.
I know. Anyway, we don't know anything about it. The posters are very intriguing, and Paul Thomas Anderson, the guy who did Boogie Nights, Phantom Thread, it's interesting. So The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, may get an Oscar nomination for the first time. He plays MMA fighter Mark Kerr, and everybody says he looks that he gives an incredible performance in this with Emily Blunt, who is his co-star in The Jungle Boat movie. Also coming up, we've got the sequel to Tron. This will be the 3rd Tron movie with much, much better special effects. Now, there was a crazy story some years ago about a criminal who hid out in a shopping mall. And Channing Tatum stars in Roof Man. He was a U.S. Army Reserve officer, and he hid out in a Toys R Us for 6 months living in the store.
You know, it's not too far-fetched because in the news yesterday, this guy was living in a condo crawl space for months. Nobody knew he was living in there. He had a TV set up. He had everything living in the crawl. So it can happen. I mean, strange things.
As a matter of fact, there's a documentary that came out this year about a group of people who lived in a mall crawl space for quite a long time. Okay, Kiss of the Spider Woman, directed by the guy who did the Oscar winner Chicago. It's based on the musical, which itself is based on the movie, about 2 prisoners, and one of them is telling the other one the story of his favorite film. Jennifer Lopez appears as sort of the fantasy figure, and they say she might just get her first Oscar for this one.
All right. Well, now, next one up is After the Hunt.
Yes, After the Hunt looks really difficult. It's sort of about a Me Too story where Julia Roberts is a professor who has to decide who to believe, her favorite student or her close colleague in a Me Too story. And then I'm a huge fan, as I hope you are too, of Lorenz Hart, the lyricist.
Oh, yeah.
Responsible for all those wonderful, wonderful songs with Richard Rodgers. And Ethan Hawke plays him in Blue Moon. And I can't get over the fact that Larry Hart was less than 5 feet tall, and they've done a lot of movie tricks to make Ethan Hawke look less than 5 feet
really?
Tall. So I'm not sure how I'm going to. If you watch the trailer, you'll see that. We'll see how that goes. And also it plays Larry Hart, who had a very sad life, as one of the worst moments in his life, as his longtime partner has moved on to Oscar Hammerstein and has just written a new show called Oklahoma.
Yeah, Richard Rodgers, he did move on. And Lorenz Hart, he's got a great catalog of hits. But, I want to see that
movie. My Funny Valentine is one of my favorites, yeah. Mountain Greenery. And, of course, the movie title is one of his favorite most famous songs, Blue Moon.
Well, we have the version by the Marcells, the rock and roll version. Bomb, 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 bomb. So that's another one. I didn't see the preview for it. First, I'm hearing about it. So Eleanor the Great, Blue Moon on my must-see list. Let's talk about Stiller and Mira, Nothing is Lost. They're both gone now. So
they are.
Yeah.
And Ben Stiller has made a love letter to his parents. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to watch his parents, who were a comedy duo,
yes,
on the Ed Sullivan
yes,
Show.
Yes, I
did,
too.
And I just love them.
Yeah.
A lot of their humor was based on the fact that they were a couple, and she was Irish Catholic, and he was Jewish, and, you know, the different worldviews and the conflicts. And, of course, then they both went on to great acting careers. He was so great in Seinfeld, and she's in movies like Awakening. And so Ben Stiller has made a Valentine to his parents in this documentary, and I am really looking forward to seeing that. Now, did you ever think about Keanu Reeves as an angel?
Wait, before we get to that, you got to don't forget about Stiller as my mind's going blank here for a second. Jerry Stiller was on King of Queens for many, many years.
Oh yes, of course he was the dad on that.
He played
too.
Arthur.
And also he's in movies like The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he was on one of these sitcoms with his son. Ben Stiller played his father on a flashback sequence. So they have worked together before. All right, Good Fortune. This is the one. Yeah.
Yes.
I heard it. He broke his kneecap, he said, while filming this movie.
Really? He makes the John Wick movies, and then this is what happens?
Yeah.
But I think Keanu Reeves is a great choice to be cast as an angel. And it's called Good Fortune, written and directed and starring Aziz Ansari as a guy who needs an angel to come out, give him guidance. I really like that. It's sort of a throwback to movies like A Guy Named Joe and Heaven Can Wait. And, so looking forward to that. We've got Kathryn Bigelow. Nobody does better at directing tense action movies than Kathryn Bigelow, The Hurt Locker, for example, and Zero Dark Thirty. She's got a house of dynamite as the United States is under attack. Then, I don't know, the guy from The Bear, Jeremy Allen White, playing Bruce Springsteen in Deliver Me From Nowhere, as he's making his album Nebraska. I don't know. I guess my only view about that is that if you're going to do a biopic, this is the way I think you should do it, which is you take one specific instance in their life rather than try to go through the whole childhood trauma, blah, 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 blah. And Jeremy Allen White is a great actor. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, we have two minutes. Run through some of the other titles that we have to look forward to.
Well, okay, one I'm really looking forward to is Begonia, which looks absolutely nuts from the Poor Things people, the director and the star, Emma Stone. If you look at the trailer, you'll see she had to shave her head for that one. And the one that I think you should keep an eye out for, because everyone says it's great, is Train Dreams, which is the team behind the wonderful movie Sing Sing. One of their deals is that everybody on the film gets paid the same. So if you're the person who delivers the sandwiches or you're the star of the film, you get paid the same and you get the same share in whatever the movie makes. So it's based on the true story of a guy who was a railroad worker whose life has unexpected depth and beauty, and my colleague who saw it said it was one of the best films of the year. And then I love the Now You See Me movie, so
yes,
I'm thrilled that the original cast is back for a third one. So I think that looks really good.
And another Frankenstein movie, too, huh?
Yeah, another Frankenstein movie. And you know how people are always saying Frankenstein is not the monster. Frankenstein's name of the doctor.
Right, it is.
Well, apparently this is the one of the movies that will give you Frankenstein showing you that the doctor is the monster. He's the bad guy. And we'll see how that goes. Oscar Isaac, one of my favorites, plays Dr. Frankenstein.
I loved him in the Coen Brothers film. What was it? He played a songwriter. I can't think of the name of it. It's one of their black and white movies.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yes.
Love that movie.
My wife bought me
absolutely love it, and I think that's one of the greatest performances ever.
My wife bought me the soundtrack album, you know, on digital.
Yeah, I have the soundtrack album, too. I absolutely love it. It's sort of inspired by the folk era in New York in the 1950s. Yeah.
Best scene in the picture is when they're doing the story, Dear Mr. President, Please, Mr. President.
Yes, that is funny.
With Justin Timberlake and
And Adam Driver.
And my favorite line, he says, Who wrote this garbage? He said, I did.
I did. But it's great. Yeah. And the music, I absolutely love the soundtrack on that one. And Oscar Isaac is terrific in it. So, yeah, he'll be good in Frankenstein, too.
Check out the complete list of movies and trailers at MovieMom.com, MovieMom.com. And if you missed any part of our chat, it's going to be podcast tomorrow morning, so you can listen to the whole thing again, full hour's worth. Oh, Nell, when the Christmas season comes up, we'll have you back. And we'll find out the hits and misses of the fall season.
You
know what I feel bad about that? These are people's dreams we're talking about. They put a lot of money, they put years into the projects, and they flop. And I feel terrible because this is their dream.
It is their dream, and so many people are involved, and they do put their hearts and souls into it. So fingers crossed, I hope they're all hits.
Take a look at the credits. Hundreds of people involved. It's all their dreams.
Now, including my daughter, the costume designer.
Our pipeline to Hollywood.